We'd like to welcome the radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We would like to thank Angel in honor of Terry's birthday for their radio sponsorship. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to the Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. A couple of announcements. We'd like you to join us on Saturday, November the 6th, from 9 to 1 for our Frosty Fest Craft and Vendor Show. We have several vendors signed up to show off their lovely crafts and items they have to sell. Once again, this is November the 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 333 South Chestnut Street. Saturday, November 13th at 6 p.m., we will be offering another Christian-based movie night here at Trinity, 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Please come and join us. And on Saturday, November 20th, from 5 to 7, Trinity United Methodist Church will be offering another community meal. If you need a good hot meal, please join us for a good Thanksgiving meal, and that is free. Our scripture reading today will be from Revelations 14, 6 through 7, and Psalms 46, followed by the sermon, God of Angel Armies, by Pastor Angel Abshire. Revelation 14, 6 through 7. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." And now Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. Happy Reformation Day. The mess that our world is in today, I am reminded of two things clearly. Number one, I am reminded that all it takes for evil to flourish is that good folks remain silent. Number two, I am so grateful for good people like Martin Luther, Bonhoeffer, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., and those who have courage, biblical integrity, and those who can stand up for biblical standards and principles, often at great peril to themselves. We are living in a day and age where the Bible, if even ever considered, is often twisted, quoted out of context, And people today are all about themselves. They do not care about their neighbors. We as Christians are called to love one another. I absolutely loved. I appreciated your message. I did appreciate your message very much. The scriptures today are actually text for Reformation Day, but that's not why I'm preaching them today. As a matter of fact, God called me to preach these today, and He got a hold of me hard. I didn't want to preach them. I rarely preach out of the book of Revelation. It is an end times message. It is a very symbolic book. I love John. The book of John is the book that I have new Christians go to first because I love the symbolism in it. I love the way that it portrays God's love for people. The book of Revelation, it is a difficult book to understand. I preach out of the 21st chapter for funerals. I occasionally preach out of the 22nd chapter, the River of Life. Other than that, I rarely preach out of the book of Revelation. But this time, God got a hold of me and said, you are preaching out of this. Psalm 46, when it comes up in the lectionary, I'm okay with it. But this time He said, there is a good word in it for my people, and they need strength, hope, and encouragement. And beloved, we do need strength, hope, and encouragement. This church needs strength, hope, and encouragement. Our community needs strength, hope, and encouragement. Our nation and this world needs to seek refuge in God's holy word. Our world needs to return to the word of God. We have strayed far from it. And we, beloved, have become timid. We fear standing upon the word. We fear saying Merry Christmas. We fear saying bless you. We fear saying anything biblical for fear that we might offend someone. Well, this is who I am. And no one seems concerned with whether or not I may be offended. I don't purposely intend to offend anyone anytime. It is never my intent to hurt someone or to offend anyone. But I am called to preach a good word. I am called to lift my Lord Jesus Christ high. I am called to encourage others in the word. And I'm not ashamed of that. Martin Luther, on October 31st, 1517, Brother Martin, a monk, a scholar, had struggled for years with his church in Rome. He had been greatly disturbed by the unprecedented indulgent sale. Tetzel, whose German name was Johann, had given the task of raising money to build St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. I talk occasionally. He was exceptionally good at it, and his claims for the effect of indulgences. Okay, rewind here. He was really good at the sale of indulgences. In other words, you drop money in the basket and we will pray your dead loved one out of purgatory and into heaven. As a matter of fact, his major claim was as soon as the gold hits the casket, the sinner rises to heaven. That repulses me. That we could, as man, claim to send somebody to heaven. That is not our place. Man always has, is, and will be fascinated with wealth, fame, and prestige. And sadly, we find really evil ways of going about that unless we stay really grounded in the Word of God. In a sense, the sale of indulgences was a way of getting poor people to pay taxes. And thank goodness Martin Luther nailed a death warrant to the sale of indulgences to the cathedral door in Wittenberg. But why October 31st? Because November 1st held a special day in the church calendar as All Saints Day, which we will celebrate next week. November 1st, 1517, a massive exhibit of a newly acquired relics would be on display in Wittenberg, Luther's home city. Pilgrims would come from far and wide to fall all over themselves and bow down at these relics, and hundreds and thousands of years would be taken off of purgatory, and people would be lifted out of purgatory into heaven, because while these relics were being looked at, money would be poured in on that day for people to be lifted up. Again, this is no surprise. Man has tried to control religion rather than simply paying attention to what is in the Word. Sadly, man has, ever since the beginning of time, tried to take what was in the Word and quote it out of context. Priests were never meant to be celibate. If they died celibate, all their belongings went to the church. What is Reformation Day? Reformation Day is when the gospel was freed. It broke forth out of darkness. The Protestant Reformation Day is a day that Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, and many other reformers helped the church to find its way. God's Word, the only supreme authority for faith and life. A leading of the church back to the glorious doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It kindled fires of missionary endeavors. It led to hymn writings. It led to congregational singing. And it led to the centrality of sermons and preaching out of the Bible for the people of God. Beloved, in so many ways, every church across America, or most of them anyway, needs to return to preaching only upon the Word of God. not upon what man may think. John, the beloved disciple, the one who was entrusted, our Lord's mother, as his body prepared to die upon the cross. Jesus entrusted John, the beloved, with his mother, is the only one who was not martyred. Not for lack of trying. They chased that man down. They tried to boil him alive. And in despair, they finally dropped him off. John the Beloved, John the Revelator. They dropped him off on Patmos, where he lived with the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit. And he wrote the book of Revelation. Beloved, I don't pretend to fully understand the book of Revelation in all of its mystery and all of its complexity. What I know, because I know, because I know, is it is God-breathed and God-inspired. And it is layer upon layer upon layer of truth. I know because I know that it has a word for us today. John sees something that every Christian needs to see to keep from getting discouraged. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation, to every tribe, and every language and every people. Notice what kind of gospel. Eternal, everlasting. It will last forever because God the Father wants every nation, every tribe, every people of every language to become saved. That's why Jesus tarries in returning, because he wants all people to have the opportunity to hear the gospel. We are the ones that carry that gospel, beloved. I am a life-applicable, Holy Spirit-led preacher. I rarely preach from the book of Revelation, but this word tells me that the gospel is being proclaimed through Christ's holy church. The angel is the heavenly figure of all of those messengers sent to bear witness of this new covenant of forgiveness from the apostles to the bishops, to the martyrs of the early church, right down to the pastors and the ambassadors of Christ, to the confessors of the faith, you and I, beloved. Each and every one of us are called to share the faith in some way, shape, or form. That doesn't mean that you get up here and preach. That means that you pray for the people that you want to hear the message. That means that you write to them. You can write a prayer to them. That means that you sit beside them when they are hurting and share with them how Jesus Christ has helped you through the hard times in your life. There's a song that sings, "Awaken, sleeper, O sinner, arise, open your eyes." Church, we need to open our eyes. I hate to say it, but our nation has become complacent. We come into the church and we sit Some of us are very faithful about coming every Sunday. And I'm talking to the radio audience as well. We come and we sit in the church, but how many of us are truly invested in our church? How many of us are invested in carrying the gospel message outside of the walls of our church? How many of us are opening the eyes of others? How many of us truly care if our neighbors are saved? Our Lord has provided a way to preserve the gospel message until the end of time. He keeps this message safe. Come on down, baby girl. You can come on down. He keeps this message safe for you and for your kids until the end of time. He tells us that we are called to share this message with every people, with every generation, with every language, with every culture. The first Bible verse a child learns is what? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. When Jesus was born, the angels told the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. It was on the pages of the Bible that Martin Luther discovered the good news of great joy. His eyes were open to see that he was saved and accepted by God. John Wesley himself struggled with whether or not he was forgiven, with whether or not he was saved. He was ordained as a priest. I'm not even going to try to say it because my tongue's not working today. He went on to be a missionary. He met with the mighty Moravians, and they changed his faith. But still, until he heard the preface that Luther wrote for the book of Romans, and his heart was strangely warmed, he was not assured of his own salvation. And I'm hoping Mike's going to share with us an even more wonderful story from Wesley, if he has time. But the gospel has never ceased to be proclaimed in Christ's church. However, it has been watered down. It has been manipulated. It has been twisted. It has been quoted out of context. And it has been out and out changed to speak forth what the preacher wanted it to say. And beloved, this is exactly why I did not want to preach this word. But God told me I was going to preach it. And my best friend told me, you're going to be obedient or you know what will happen. It is time for this country to go back to preaching the Word of God. It is time for us to remember that the Word itself does not return void. That the best thing that we can do is to make the Word available to others. You've all heard me say over and over and over again that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that the Word is alive, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace with an attitude of expectancy. And I can back that up scripturally. Hebrews 4:12-16, ESV. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have a high priest who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence, with boldness, draw near the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Isaiah 55:11 tells us God's word is not only sharper than a double-edged sword, dividing soul, emotions, and thoughts led by emotions, and spirit, but his word will not return void. Today we heard, it is an everlasting gospel against which our Lord says, even the gates of hell will not prevail. There are times, though, when it seems that hell has prevailed, especially in this day and age. Luther came on the scene at just such a time. The precious gospel of forgiveness, the very heart of the Christian faith, was being obscured. In fact, so obscured that most Christians hadn't even heard of it, at least not in its fullness. Luther himself, a well-educated lawyer, a scholar, turned monk, had had enough of all of the Bible being twisted, and he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the cathedral. He said enough, enough of taking advantage of God's people, enough of taking advantage of bleeding hearts who wanted to see their loved ones go to heaven. Enough of twisting God's word. Beloved, I say enough of quoting God's word out of context. Enough of preachers saying what they want to say with God's word. Read it yourself. Study it yourself. Come to the point of understanding what God is saying yourself. The gospel was never swallowed. Hell could not defeat it. The medieval church could not change it, could not rewrite it. And though it had been obscured badly, it has never been completely lost. The gospel of St. John that the angels proclaimed is an everlasting gospel. It has never ceased to be proclaimed in God's church. So the church herself must constantly be on guard. She must perpetually turn to the Spirit of our risen Lord, asking over and over and over again, Lord, oh Lord, what would you have me to do? She must continually gather together, as Hebrews 10:24-25 says. And she must learn to live with grace, with all of her members within each body, because each member is desperately needed. And she must have both an inlet, people coming in, and an outlet, people going out into the community, into the nation, into the world, proclaiming. And now, I'd like to read you again pieces of the psalm that Mary Ellen read to us earlier as a good word, as a form of encouragement. Psalm 46, God, you are such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You are a proven help in time of trouble. In trouble, we will not have fear. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. From the raging roaring of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. Pause in his presence. God's protection is readily available to us, according to Psalm 46:4. God is constantly a flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people. His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling place. 4-7, God's power is offered to us. And 4-5, a city of joy in which we can dwell. God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn, when the nations are in uproar with their tottering kingdoms. God simply raises his voice and the earth begins to disintegrate before him. Here he comes, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Pause in his presence. 8-9 tells us that we have God's peace. Everyone look. Come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. For he brings both ruin and revival. He is the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Praise will be universal. Listen to the psalmist's powerful presence to us in 10 and 11. Surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. How can we not stand in praise our awesome God? Please stand and join me in singing, Our God is an awesome God.